you planning on ringing in the new year? Will you be popping a bottle of something special, perhaps something with bubbles? If so, do you go for real French champagne or do you settle for Prosecco perhaps or a good Aussie sparkling? Almost every winemaking nation in the world produces its own version of sparkling wine, but as any connoisseur will tell you, whether you want to know or not, only sparkling wine originating from France's Champagne region and produced using the method Champenoise can officially carry the label. Aussie sparklings, particularly, of course, those produced in Tasmania, have been impressing on the global stage now for a number of years. But now, British fizz is winning praise and plaudits in the industry too, with 2018 widely considered to be the biggest and best vintage so far. This is leading to questions about whether climate change is playing a role, with 2018's temperatures in England starting to closely resemble the climate usually seen in northeastern France. Sarah Jane Evans is a master of wine. She's a journalist and broadcaster and joins us this morning from London. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello, lovely to be with you.
Sarah Jane, Britain is better known for its ales and ciders. When did British fizz start becoming a thing?
Well, I have to take you right back to 1662, because in fact, traditional method sparkling wine was in fact invented by an Englishman, Christopher Merritt. And Dom Perignon, who is the widely known monk in France, who is thought to have invented it, in fact was trying to stop his wine going fizzy. But we were the smart ones in England. We worked out how to do it. So that's 1662. But seriously, the history goes back, I guess, about 30 years. And since then, in about the last 15 years, it's really taken off. English and Welsh sparkling wine is really something to be taken very seriously now. And that's not, I'm not just not saying that.
No, absolutely. In fact, it's winning plaudits and the consumers are actually getting in behind it. In fact, you were recently part of a panel of judges for the International Sommelier Awards, Wine Awards. Can you take us through just how the British sparkling wines competed against champagne?
Well, and they competed very well. What's been really interesting in that competition and in another is that when you line up English traditional method sparkling wine against champagne, very often trained tasters can't tell the difference or think that the champagne is the English one. So there's real confusion there, as there would be indeed. Tasmania has done the same thing, and I know Tasmanian sparkling wines have come out top. So I would be, you'll notice that I'm being quite specific about saying English or Welsh, because British wine is a whole different thing. It's not really wine at all. But what happens is we've got the same grape varieties. We've got Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier. We've got the same soils you have in northern France. So we've got those chalky soils, which are just ideal for sparkling wine. And then we have got this climate, which is cool, to which the key thing about making sparkling wine is adding a little bit of sugar to get a second fermentation. And of course, if you've got a slightly acid wine, as they have in northern France, or as we have in southern England, then adding a little bit of sugar isn't a bad thing at all. And you end up with this lovely, dry, sparkling wine.
Extra sugar in the last 12 months with that warmer than usual weather in England.
It's been amazing. I must say, this has been a real terrific year for us. I think we all went around as being English complaining about the fact it was too hot. But the great advantage for that for our wine industry is that we've had a really terrific vintage.
And is there genuine discussion amongst winemakers about whether climate change is going to lead to a shift in the industry?
Yeah, it definitely looks like there's going to be more places you can plant, and much more seriously. And the amount of planting that's going on is huge at the moment. The only thing that will happen with climate change is it's getting extreme, so that we're not just getting lots of hot weather and lots of cold weather. We're actually getting hail storms. We're getting very fierce rainstorms and all of that. So those extremes are damaging. So I think, you know, as any grape grower knows, you're going to have, out of 10 years, you are going to have two or three very difficult years. But it looks like it's really working in our favour at the moment.
And what does that then mean for the Champagne region in France then? If you've got a changing climate that is making British bubbly more palatable and in fact, you know, reaching a very high standard, what does that mean then for the French wine?
Well, exactly. I can think back to the year 2000 when we all drank champagne because it was the year 2000 and we really felt we had to have the wine. What's happening now, and you could see it with Tasmanian wine as you could see it with the English sparkling, is that they're being sold at the prices, the main prices, the typical prices you would sell a regular champagne for. So they're not the cheaper wine. Now, Prosecco is definitely made a mark because it's the cheaper option. It's kind of sweeter and softer and it's cheaper. But the great thing about for the growers is that the English sparkling wine, as for the Tasmanian sparkling wines, is they're fighting in the main champagne marketplace. They're being seen as wines to be taken seriously. So I think that's really encouraging for the future, because there's no point in launching a new product if you're going to be selling it in a bargain basement. People are going to have to pay. And that's about all about building a reputation for it. That's why I'm happy to talk about it here today. You've got to build the reputation and the prestige of English sparkling wine so that people are really keen to discover it and try it and discover just how good it is.
So how is this going for the history of the rivalry between the French and the British then?
Well, it's interesting. There is one producer who's trying to call English traditional method sparkling wine. He wants to call it Bretagne, yeah, as a kind of play on words with Britain, to say they have champagne and we have Bretagne. But I think none of us are very keen on that. But it is... In the end, what's interesting is, in the end, if there's a really, really special moment, at the moment, people will still opt for champagne. If something really special happens in the family or whatever, then it's that champagne bottle. But hopefully, within the next 10 years or so, we'll all get a little bit less stuck on champagne. There's obviously one big thing which I haven't mentioned yet, but I must work in, which is the word Brexit, which is occupying all of us in
that
Europe
little
at the
thing.
So here we have, you know, instead of having to import French champagne to the UK to drink, if the worst happens, the worst, and we cut ourselves off from Europe, then at least we have a home produced product. We won't have to import, and we will at least be able to toast the next new year in our own product.
Sarah Jane, we've got 30 seconds before we have to go to the news, but what we haven't actually done is get you to describe what it tastes like.
Well, I think what you'll find is it's very fresh, zesty. It's not a ripe, sunny wine at all. It is a very linear, piercing, fresh, you know, it's just what you need for sparkling wine. It starts off with that lovely oomph of bubbles, and then there's a very clean, dry finish. I think the message is buy a bottle.
I'm sure you're going to be partaking for bringing in the new year, I'm sure, based on that. Sarah Jane, lovely to talk to you. And
a
happy
pleasure.
New year.
And to you.
Sarah Jane Evans is a certified master of wine journalist and broadcaster. She's also the founding member of the Academy of Chocolate.